Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Tori, from Demimonde Paranormal, a private paranormal group on Facebook.com. In tonight's episode, we will be heading to Virginia, USA, the state of Virginia, and also we will be traveling this great southern state to examine their various haunted places. A lot of these locations that I've gathered here for tonight's episode is mainly in Virginia Beach. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and if you guys are from Virginia Beach, or you live somewhere near there, or you have relatives near Virginia Beach, or they live in Virginia Beach, you know, give them a shout out. And if any of these stories are familiar to you, don't be shy to leave a comment. So before we get into tonight's episode, I want to ask you guys, how are you guys doing? How have you guys been doing? I hope you guys are doing good. And it's finally March. Can you guys believe it? I mean, we're one step closer for it to being spring. That means warmer weather. Nice, beautiful flowers are going to start popping out of the ground. It's going to be a good time. I know that, you know, things have been crazy lately, but it's important for us to keep hopeful, you know, and see the silver lining in each cloud. So, with that being said, let's get into this spooky stuff, shall we? Let's dive right in to Virginia's ghosts and ghouls, and maybe even a vampire. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Demimonde Paranormal. Welcome to Haunted Virginia. Our first location is a stretch of road that you may or may not have heard of. This is called Elbow Road, and it's a pretty famous story of local lore, but if you haven't heard it, we're gonna go over it right now. Now, according to the locals, they will warn others to never ever stop on Elbow Road. Now, this is Elbow Road in Virginia Beach, Virginia. They warned that along the road you might meet the spirit of old Mrs. Wobble, who was rumored to have been murdered on Elbow Road. According to the story, many believe that they have encountered her ghost along the sharp bends and curves of the street. Mysteriously enough, her body was never found, but people still see her wandering around with bloodied clothing that's torn and ripped, and she's looking for her home. However, there is also another spirit that lingers around Elba Road, and it's that of a little girl who was said to have drowned in the lake. Legend has it that if you park your car on the road and take a seat on the hood of the car, little wet child footprints will inexplicably appear, and they will seem to move towards where you are sitting. You know, I just took a drive through Virginia not too long ago, in October of last year, for example, and it was really lovely. I didn't see any spooks or ghosts or anything like that, but it was really calm and serene, and it was really quite pretty. I enjoyed the drive down through Virginia. So, our next location is not so serene. Actually, it is pretty serene, but just lurking around the corner, you may see the ghost of somebody extremely infamous. Now, this next story that I'm about to tell y'all is a story that I did cover in another podcast episode, and you may know the story as I go on to tell it, but our next location is of First Landing State Park in Virginia Beach. Now, in the 1700s, The shores of the Chesapeake Bay was home to fearsome pirates. The calm waters of the bay made this a spot a favorite area to look out for naval ships and merchant ships to rob. This was the infamous Captain Blackbeard's favorite lookout. As the story goes, after he and his crew ransacked a bountiful merchant ship, a naval ship was spotted just nearby. So they decided to quickly bury their treasure on the shores of the bay. But after burying their treasure, the men fled through the narrow inland waterways, returning back to the ocean. They had made plans to return back to shore to collect their belongings. But the naval ship caught up with Captain Blackbeard's ship, and off the coast of Carolina in the Outer Banks, there was a bloody battle that ensued, and Captain Blackbeard lost his head, literally, by the hands of Lieutenant Robert Maynard. Many have tried to find the famous buried treasure of the nefarious Captain Blackbeard, but so far none have been able to do so. Even though his death occurred in North Carolina, Captain Blackbeard's spirit is still said to wander the beach of First Landing State Park, protecting his treasure. They say that if you are taking a stroll, be careful not to wander too close to the burial spot of his beloved prize, for if you do, you may find yourself staring at the headless ghost of Captain Blackbeard. Our next location is Virginia Beach Surf and Rescue Museum in Virginia Beach. It is registered on the National Register of Historic Places, and in 1903 it served as the U.S. life-saving station. Now it serves as a museum that preserves the city's maritime history and includes local surfing legends, historical shipwrecks, and superstorms that hit the coastal city. It also memorizes local lifeguards. Many of the staff have reported hearing ghostly maniacal laughter, and this maniacal laughter has been attributed to the Pungo Witch, also known as Grace Sherwood, and we will talk about her later. But also at the Surf and Rescue Museum, there has been apparitions seen at the museum as well, and those are thought to be the spirits of the victims of shipwrecks. It's said that the bodies of said victims were held in the attic until they were claimed. There's also reports of disembodied footsteps leading up to the guard tower. Our next location is the Thorogood House in Virginia Beach. The Thorogood House was built in 1719. This historic cottage is no stranger to paranormal activity. Now both staff and visitors report seeing a red-haired woman who wanders the grounds dressed in various colonial-style dresses. There is also the apparition of a man dressed in a brown suit who seems to appear from time to time. These spirits are considered playful as they like to move things around, such as candlesticks and even heavy furniture. One time the staff even witnessed glass domes being lifted off of Christmas time candles, completely unaided, and then they crashed down to the ground. Visitors and staff have also experienced the sensation of being watched, and there are cold drafts in the house as well. So anyway, y'all, if you guys have ever heard of any of these locations, please feel free to leave a comment down below and tell us of your experiences. Personally, I've never been to any of these places, but I would love to go, especially with this next location coming up here. Now, this next location is more of a famously haunted location. This is the Cavalier Hotel in Virginia Beach. Now, the Cavalier Hotel was built in the 1920s, and it was quite popular with starlets such as Bette Davis, Judy Garland, and even more famous people such as Woodrow Wilson and Adolph Coors, and the more infamous people such as notorious gangster Al Capone. Now, Adolph Coors was the founder of Coors Beer, so if you guys were a fan of Coors Beer, this story is for you. The hotel is home to many ghosts, one of them being the spirit of Mr. Coors. Adolph Coors was said to have either fallen from the window or he jumped from the window of the hotel in 1929. There are also rumors circulating around that he was actually pushed out of the hotel's window. After his death, many report feeling his presence on the sixth floor, and it has been reported that an audible loud thud can be heard as you walk past the spot where Adolph Coors' body landed just outside the hotel. Another spirit that resided in the Cavalier Hotel is one clad in a military uniform. He is seen on the employee staircase, and he warns staff not to go upstairs, as there are bodies supposedly up there. And at one point this would be true, as victims of a shipwreck, which occurred at the time of World War I, would be brought in by the US Navy to the Cavalier Hotel, to be claimed, of course. The hotel is considered to be one of the most haunted hotels in Virginia. Guests have reported seeing a cat in the room as well, and this could be related to an incident involving a little girl. It's said that a little girl was attempting to save her pet cat from drowning in the pool, and tragically she fell in the water and drowned. So how would you guys like to have a ghost cat in your room? That'd be pretty wild. That's a sad story though, isn't it? Our next location is one that I've never heard of before, and I've never heard of it being haunted. This is the historic DeWitt Cottage in Virginia Beach. Now, people out walking on the boardwalk of Virginia Beach near 12th Street report seeing strange images in the windows of DeWitt College. It's believed that the spirits of Cecile and Cornelius DeWitt, both of them had died in the college of young ages. Cecile was only 49 and Cornelius was 53. Their early deaths left their two eldest children to raise seven younger siblings. Julia was 22 and Elizabeth was 21. Some say that the spirits of Cecile and Cornelius still linger in the house to protect the house itself and their children. And according to the director of the now-turned museum of the DeWitt Cottage, who has stayed in the cottage at the night, has heard sounds that sounds like furniture being moved in the attic. Alright, moving on. Our next location is St. Albans Sanatorium in Radford, Virginia. Now, we all know the lore behind sanatoriums, asylums, state psychiatric hospitals. We all know what goes on behind those doors. People were treated barbarically, and St. Albans Sanatorium was no different. St. Albans Sanatorium was just one of many sanatoriums with a nasty reputation and a dark history. It was here where patients were subjected to horrifying archaic procedures, lobotomies, needless pain and neglect, not to mention electric shock therapy. It's needless to say that these innocent patients did not survive the procedures, and those who did suffered a lifetime of debilitating side effects. The site of the sanatorium is also the area of an extremely violent Civil War battle, and to this day, visitors claim that they have heard both rifles and cannons being fired, as well as the aroma of gun smoke is currently present. So if you visit St. Albans Sanatorium, it would be no shock if you were to experience seeing a ghost from the Civil War era and some long-lost patient from the sanatorium that was treated horribly and subjected to needless pain, hours of endurance. So our next location is the Exchange Hotel in Gordonsville, Virginia. The hotel was built in 1860, right next to an important railroad junction. Now, this hotel was built so people who were getting off the train could have somewhere they could rest for the night, and then they could go on with their day in the morning. But only 2 years later, the hotel was converted into a receiving hospital during the beginnings of the Civil War. In less than a year, over 23,000 sick or wounded soldiers flooded the hotel. By the time of the war ended, the number of patients rose to a staggering 70,000. Even though there was not a record to show just how many deaths occurred within the walls of the hotel, there are over 700 burials on the property. This hotel now serves as a museum that showcases military artifacts, uniforms, and firearms. However, if you visit this museum, you just may hear the ghostly soft moans and cries from soldiers who haven't yet moved on. And our next little location is Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia. Now, this landmarked cemetery is the final resting place for 18,000 Confederate soldiers, two presidents, and the president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis. Also buried on the property are 25 Civil War generals. Also, if you visit the cemetery, look out for a cast iron large Newfoundland dog guarding one small grave. The statue stands guard over the burial site of a little girl who died tragically in 1862. And more importantly, well, more strangely in fact, another stately tomb is the site of W.W. Poole, but it's similar to the other mausoleum-style grave sites of the cemetery. But this grave supposedly contains the Richmond vampire. Other local lore and gossip surrounding the cemetery is that spirits of the graveyard are not at peace, and they are looking to prey upon unsuspecting victims at night. Here's a little something more on the Richmond vampire before we move on to our next location and subject. Rumors of a vampire lurking in the shadows of Hollywood Cemetery have circulated since the 1920s. The mythical creature is described by locals as a ghastly one dripping blood and flesh who slumbers in a tomb on the site's hallowed grounds. The urban legend contains, which had been known since its first print appearance in the Commonwealth Times, alleges that the vampire escaped during the deadly Churchill train tunnel collapse in 1925. After the collapse killed and buried several railway workers, the first fanged creature sighting was reported near bookkeeper William Wortham Poole's grave. Sorry. Now, Mr. Poole resided in Woodland Heights, and he died from pneumonia at the age of 80 in 1922. His initials, which are carved into the stone on his grave, are W.W. Poole, and some say that the letters resemble a vampire's fangs. Now, tour guides that give tours of the Hollywood Cemetery emphasize that the legend behind the Richmond vampire is one of clearly urban legend. Chris Mullahan emphasizes that the tale most likely originated from a game of telephone, which most likely started from the sighting of an injured individual with blood on their face and broken teeth and other injuries after the Churchill Tunnel collapse. And to quote Chris Mullahan when I say, and that story gets relayed from one person to the next. All of a sudden, you go from an injured individual to there being a vampire. But you guys let me know down in the comments, what do you think about the Richmond vampire? Do you think it's real, or do you think it was just a simple game of telephone and people making stuff up to scare one another? You let me know down in the comments. Or was it something that people really did see? Who knows? You let me know down in the comments. Our next location / subject is something you may have heard of. This is the Pungo Witch, aka Grace Sherwood's story of Virginia Beach. Grace Sherwood was the last convicted person accused of witchcraft. She was a farmer, a healer, and a midwife. She was accused of transforming into a cat and damaging crops and causing the deaths of livestock. She was tried for witchcraft many times, and in 1706, at her trial, she was accused of causing her neighbor's miscarriage. Her neighbor, Elizabeth Hill, claimed that Grace bewitched her, causing her to miscarry. The court ordered that Grace Sherwood's innocence or her guilt would be determined by dunking her into water. If she sank, she would be innocent, but if she were to float, she was to be guilty. Grace Sherwood did ultimately float in the water, and she served almost 8 years in prison before being released. Grace was from Pungo, Princess Anne County, Virginia, which is now a part of Virginia Beach. She married a planter by the name of James Sherwood in 1680, and they had three sons, John, James, and Richard. The first time Grace was accused of witchcraft was in 1697, when a bull had died after she had supposedly cast a spell upon it. However, the case was dropped because of reason of agreements by both parties. Then she was accused again in 1898 by two neighbors who accused her of causing their corn crops to die and bewitching their pigs. Grace sued both her neighbors for slander, but her legal attempts were unsuccessful when her husband had to pay for court expenses. Freed from prison in 1714, Grace Sherwood recovered her property from Princess Anne County, as her husband died in 1701. She did not remarry, and she lived on her farm with her sons until her death in 1740 at the age of about 80. However, each year, according to local legend and lore, Grace Sherwood returns to the place of her ducking on Witch Duck Road every July each year in the form of a mysterious dancing light that hovers over the waters of Witch Duck Road. In 2006, Grace was exonerated from her crimes by Governor Tom Kane to restore her good name. There's even a bronze statue of Grace in her honor in the Santara Bayside Hospital to honor her. She's depicted with woodland creatures such as a raccoon to symbolize her love for animals, and she's also depicted carrying rosemary, as she was known as a local healer and for her knowledge in herbal medicine. Other sites that honor Grace Sherwood are Witch Duck Bay, Witch Duck Point, Watch Point Trail, and Sherwood Lane. Something else that I want to add in the Grace Sherwood story is that when she was during her ducking trial, when she refused to sink to the bottom, one of the things that convinced the court that she was a witch was that she actually unshackled herself from the chains that she was bound and she swam to shore. And that was enough to convince the court that she was a witch. Firstly, she did not allow herself to just sink to the bottom. She floated and she unshackled herself and swam to the shore, and that was enough to convince a whole court and jury that she was an actual witch. You guys tell me if that makes any sense to you guys. And also, Grace Sherwood was also known for her great beauty, and that was an element of jealousy for the local other women around. So, you can guess what jealousy leads to, and she was known to be a healer around her community. So, jealousy and just a few instances of bad crops and a miscarriage, and that's a recipe for somebody accusing you of being a witch, basically, in a whole nutshell. It's not surprising to me. I hope it isn't surprising to you guys. And Grace Sherwood was presumably innocent. And our last location is the star of the show. And just so you guys know, we're not done with the whole narrative of Grace Sherwood. This is the Fairy Plantation House in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Now, this plantation house is home to 11 ghosts. This makes it one of the most haunted places in Virginia. This is the place where Grace Sherwood's trials were held, because this was the courthouse of Princess Anne's County Courthouse. Now, the house was built in the 1600s, and it was one of 11 stops that the ferry would take along the Lynnhaven River. The ferry would transport anything from goods to animals. And the way to summon a fairy back in those days was to fire off a cannon. Can you believe that? The plantation was built on land that was cleared of Native Americans during the 1500s. Now, the tribe was most likely the Chesapeans. Many arrowheads and artifacts were found along the peninsula, as early colonials had a fear of the devil, witchcraft, and satanic worship. They did not step foot onto Native American ground without the land being cleared of the devil's powers. The Jamestown colonialist perception of the Virginia natives was that of devils or devil worshippers. The colonialists believed that the natives were more like devils than they were men, and they made noises similar to that of a howling wolf. They compared them to the English witches that they were so familiar with back at home. Grace Sherwood is said to have haunted the fairy plantation house, and she is also buried in the property underneath one of the largest trees on the ground. However, although Grace is one of the most famous ghosts to inhabit the plantation house, another spirit is by the name of Sally Rebecca. Sally Rebecca is the daughter of William Walk, who built the Walk Mansion, or the Walk Manor, on the property in 1751. Sally had a very sad story, however. She lost her fiancé in the war, and she had died heartbroken. In 1836, she planted a magnolia tree in his memory, and her ghost is seen wandering the gardens and wandering around in the Walk Manor, or in the plantation house, looking for her lost love to return. Another spirit seen at the plantation is one of an artist by the name of Thomas Williamson. He painted a watercolor of the fairy plantation in the Walk Manor from memory. His ghost can be seen at the top of the stairs, still painting in the afterlife. The ghost of a former slave has been seen in the house. It's the ghost of an older African-American man who seemingly comes up from the basement, kneels in front of a wall as if he was doing a chore. Then he gets up and then descends back into the basement. Now, after renovations, it was discovered that years ago there was a fireplace in that very same wall. Through paranormal investigations, it was discovered that this man's name was Henry, and he lived on the third floor slave quarters. Henry lived on the plantation all of his life, and was content with his life. And if he didn't have anything better to do, or anywhere to go, he loved to go fishing. Shipwrecks were sadly very common, especially back in the colonial days. This includes superstorms, ice storms, fires, and simply the lack of control of ship. Now, in 1811, there was a shipwreck that resulted in the loss of many lives in Fairy Landing. The ship was called Lucy and wrecked in Cape Henry on the 1st of January, 1811. The lost souls that had departed in that wreck are still thought to linger on the grounds of Fairy Plantation House. Now, other spirits that have been seen on the grounds of the Fairy Plantation in or around the house include a lady dressed in white who had died in 1826 when she broke her neck when she fell down the stairs. She is seen wandering around in the home. There are also two children that are seen, a boy and a girl. They are seen by the staff of the house, pressed against the wall. Paranormal investigators have caught evidence of a young child by the name of Eric, who is thought to have fallen from a window in 1850. And last but not least, the ghosts of Charles and Isabella McIntosh's little 5-year-old child is seen, a daughter. She is known to have died in 1860, and some speculate that she is the spirit who is at the top of the stairs. And that brings us to the end of some of the most haunted places in Virginia, in Virginia Beach. I hope you guys enjoyed that, and I will see you guys in the outro. For joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that. As you may or may not know, and I'll say it once more for anybody new here, any new listeners, I'm Tori from Demimond Paranormal. You can join our group, Demimond Paranormal, on Facebook.com, the same way spelled here. We're a little group that specializes in all things supernatural. That includes ghosts, witches, witchcraft, historical places, dark history, you name it, anything supernatural, we'll cover it. And we are a private group. We are not public, so it's a safe space for anybody to come out and share their experiences, share stories about their gifts, you name it. With that being said, I wish you guys a good night, have a safe week, a good weekend, and I will see you guys real soon, probably next week, for an all-new episode on something spooky and paranormal. But until then, stay safe, make good choices, be kind to one another, and I'll see you again real soon. Toodles. Oh, and stay spooky.